Hello and welcome to episode 18 of On Track. Today, we're going to take an extended look at internships. To help us out, we have two experts, both from the School of Communication, Writing, and the Arts. Fred Carpenter, a faculty member and advisor, and Suzanne Walfort, the director of the internship program. I started out by asking Suzanne why it is a good idea for a student to take an internship.
Because they offer a form of learning that we can't provide in the classroom. And many students say, well, I work full-time. I don't need that real-world experience. But very few of them work in the precise field they'd like to be practitioners in. So it's a wonderful way to get your foot in the door and to get your material out there to see if indeed you have what it takes to be a professional in that particular field and to get some feedback from professionals in that field about whether you are a good fit. The other big, big part of it is that even though if you have worked a full-time job, it's always good to get experience with another work culture. And I have found so many incidents where either a student worried that they wouldn't fit into the world and the culture of the new job, and then they did very well, or the reverse, that they had this image of what it was like to be in a field, say like public relations, and when they got in there, the reality was so different that they decided to go another route.
What does an internship give you besides, you know, from our perspective as professors and educators, you know, reconciling theory to practice? It actually gives you the actual real-world experience that validates all the learning that you took. You learn theory at school. You learn practice of that theory in the actual workplace in a much more thoughtful manner in an internship. Not only do you experience the work culture, but you also are experiencing what it's going to be like to actually function and deal with the outcomes that are expected of you as a professional in that field. For those of our student body who are transitioning from one field to another, this is how you break into that field and everything. So I think internships, besides, you know, making us as professors feel happy about you in student practice, makes absolute sense of breaking the paradox known as can't get the experience without a job, can't get the job without the experience. An internship actually counts in the resume. And believe me, if they're not paying you money in the internship, they will give you crazy loads of responsibility and a bishnazzy title. Don't give me money, give me a bishnazzy title at least. So in the case of social media, as an example, a high in-demand field, right? If you interned early enough in the revolution of social media, you ended up, my young undergraduate intern, director of social media campaigning, right? And so you put it in your resume, social media campaign director, parens intern, and you get to integrate that completely in your relevant employment history.
How important is it to know where you're going and what you want to do in order to find your internship?
Well, there are two kinds. The kind that is a familiarizing kind, where you want to get in and sample a field, and then the kind, an exit near the end of your time here, where you hope to maybe land some contacts, if not maybe a job position. I am much more of an advocate for the second, because for the first, and I do land students some of those internships, and we do work them out, but you don't have that much to offer them. Mm-hmm. And I always think it has to be a two-way street. I mean, why do they want to take their time and expertise to spend with a newbie who doesn't really know their field? So I think you can get in those. I really applaud the organizations that will take you on. But there's nothing like having your resume ready to go and to say, even though I don't really expect to get a job, which very few really get jobs,
sure,
except perhaps in social media, because it is so new. But to be able to go out there and check your skills against the real world gauges, and again, to get the feedback from the professionals, and most importantly, to get a relationship out of it so that you have some networking possibilities, you know a lot more about the field, and you're ready to go out for a really good interview at a professional level.
Welcome back. Let's pick up our conversation with Suzanne explaining how to get an internship interview.
Okay, first of all, Metro does much of the work for you in that we have an internship office, a central internship office that has all the paperwork lined up for you. It's a little bit involved and a little bit cumbersome, and it takes time. So you need to have some lead time before you want to start your internship. But they have a database called Handshake that lists all the kind of offers that they know of that are out on the table, and some that we have recurrent internships postings. Now, people have found internships that way. The best way to do it is on your own, mm-hmm. through your own search yep. of a good match for you, through your own contacts and networks, and it forces you to do that kind of networking if you have a dream that you think right. you need to find out who's doing it. But mostly, and here's one that students just overlook, I call it the lateral internship. They work in a firm or some kind of organization, and they really know they're not a great fit for what they're doing now, but they see a department that seems to be doing the kind of work they'd like to do. And they just don't think about going over there and saying, is there any way I could get some exposure to your department? I can't tell mm-hmm. you the number of times it's worked. Mm-hmm. And that oftentimes the employer will pay you in those hours that will be on your regular paycheck, but that you just get to buy some time somewhere else. It's gone both ways, where they go over and they sample this mm-hmm. department they thought they would love to work in, and then they saw that the reality was a little different from the inside side than mm-hmm. they saw from the outside, and maybe I like my job a little more than I thought. Or they've made contacts that may lead to a job eventually in another department in your own organization. Easier to make that change than to leave.
Right. And I think being a student gives you inherent advantage doing outreach. By saying that, you know, I think I even said to Eddie, use me as an excuse, your instructor, that you are required to actually, you know, reach out to people for informational interviews and so forth. I mean, one of the techniques I always suggest to people that they never think about when they're trying to get their internship is I said, have you thought of your transportation issues? So, for instance, you may get a fabulous internship. It's in Cleveland every day. That's quite the run. And so that is a problem. So one of the suggestions I made in 280 was this. Get a map of your area. For us, it's the Twin Cities, broken down by zip code. And put push pins in it about where you're willing to travel from and to. And take a look at those zip codes. And go straight into Google, type in the zip code, and the field. All of a sudden, you will get literally all the businesses that fall under that industry based on zip code. Now you have links straight to their career pages, and now you can do your research. Now you can even cold call and say, can I be connected to your internship office? And now you've excluded all these other research areas that wouldn't have fit you from the transportation side of the house and the transportation network. And now you are familiar with the particular industry you want to be in the localities that are close in proximity to you that will give you less windshield time.
It brings up a good point about scheduling, though. Mm-hmm. Many of our students are working,
right.
and they can't travel. Mm-hmm. They're place-bound. Certainly, everyone would like to go to L.A. to do write scripts and all of that. But your point is well taken about figure out what are your parameters, or your perimeters, mm-hmm. actually. And then secondly, there are many organizations that let you do it on your time. And so many of our students who work full-time say, I can't do an internship. It's amazing now that there's less on-site need for workers, that they're willing to give you a project, let you take it home and go with it, and then check in by email. I always encourage them to have some face time
right.
so that you do develop that relationship. But many of our interns spend very little time on-site at the location.
Go into Indeed.com. It's an aggregator, so it scrapes the internet, basically. To be real, let's put it this way. You want to front-load the labor of the research of the internship so you can avoid the emotional and physical vicissitudes or labor in the internship that doesn't turn out well. It's well worth the investment and time of finding something that fits you and aligns with you.
Most of our students love their internships and would say mm-hmm. that I highly recommend this experience. I got a lot out of it. So even though they go in sometimes with not as much information as they'd like or whatever, mm-hmm. they have generally been quite pleased with their internships.
Right. I mean, leverage the research capabilities you picked up in INFS 315, a requirement of the major, and actually do the research. It will make your life so much more pleasant. Don't just shotgun Google it. I know people like just to Google it, but use Google more as a surgical knife. The internship office wants people to use Handshake. I would say it's another opportunity. I wouldn't restrict myself to Handshake because, again, it's a smaller universe, potentially, of internships because you just don't know what firms in town are also giving to Handshake, right? And I don't think Handshake scrapes the internet like Indeed would, or Monster or Dice or whoever.
But the best way to go is to explore your network. Mm-hmm. And let me just give you an example of a student who walked into my office, really wanted to do an internship, and we just kind of mulled over opportunities, and she wanted to do organizational communication related to kind of human resources. And it's a tough gig if you don't have a lot of experience. So we're going through, and then she said, you know, well, it's interesting because my uncle is the rector at this church, and we just found out they're opening a new church. And I said, a new church? She said, yeah, this is one of these big, I can't mention the name, but, you know, one of these big places, and they have a lot of staff. And I said, who's doing their HR? She said, I have no idea, but it's coming down the road in about 2 months. And I said, does your uncle know the head of that church well enough to ask about positions? And she said, oh, yeah, he kind of runs the place. And I said, you get your butt over there, like, tomorrow, and say, can I be of any help in any capacity for your staffing and HR and setting up this new church? And she said, oh, that would be great. And she never did it. Too scared, too much initiative required. And she said, how would I start from the ground floor? And of course, there's another church.
Yeah.
You can use the model from the other church. Mm-hmm. She just wouldn't do it. And I just thought, well, there's you're probably not up for the job then. Yeah.
So, and that brings another point. You can get an internship anywhere. You don't have to do one that other students have done or that the university has a contact.
Most students do it that way. Most of them are brand new internships.
Oh, is that true? Mm-hmm. Most of them
They come through my office.
Okay, great. We have time for one last break, and then we'll come back to wrap it up. Welcome back. Jumping back into our interview, I asked Suzanne about the responsibilities for an intern once they accept the position.
That's where that paperwork has an upside to it, because there's a contract involved. You have a contract with the organization that you're interning for and a direct supervisor there. So that supervisor signs on and works, helps build the contract from both ends, from Metro's end and from their end. It has competences, what the student will accomplish and objectives. It has learning strategies, how are those things going to be done, and it has how they're going to be evaluated. And all three of those are very important parts that when they write their letter of recommendation at the end, they're to go back to that. Now, it doesn't always stay that way because of the reality of the job changes, but basically everyone knows the rules that we're going to play by. And that's part of my job, to make sure that it's not a bait and switch where they get the student in there and they're doing filing and coffee, but that they do have these rather substantial learning objectives. And secondly, that the student comes through for the supervisor, you know, so I can tell you I've had very few complaints. Most supervisors are delighted to have the help, so they rarely, rarely complain. The biggest complaint is that the supervisor doesn't get the letter in on time for me to get my grade. I'm right at that time of the semester now. But generally, that contract holds everybody accountable and works to everyone's favor to help be clear.
And it helps students when they're thinking about a second or third without the university's intervention, basically, so they have a sense of, oh, I should, before I take on an internship, I need to be clear because the university experience tells me I need to be clear about what's required on both sides of the relationship. And one of the things that I think is really good for the internship is that your site supervisor will actually tell you the truth about things. In this sense, like for instance, you've been to job interviews and you think you've nailed it, but it wasn't a good fit. And because they avoid litigation, the hiring folks won't tell you what went wrong, right? They never will. So what happens is an internship's the opportunity when you find out that you may not have the level of professional comportment. That's been a thing, is that you feel like, hey, I got the skills, it's on the page, my portfolios are rocking, but maybe there's just, you are interviewing, remember, it's the date thing, right? You've met some fabulous people in your time dating, but you just didn't click, right? And you don't tell, you know, as the phrase says, it's not you, it was me. But it goes both ways. So that's one of the, you know, things that you have to consider is the internship is an opportunity to get honest feedback where your mentor could say things to you a hiring manager never can tell you, and how you can refine your skill set interviewing, you know, in various ways. You may not even be aware that you've got these little weird quirks that kind of throws things off for folks. They really like you once they got to know you. Mm-hmm. But in an interview, it's all about first impressions. And so your mentor, your site supervisor, hopefully will tell you, do you know you got this weird thing where you're clicking the pin like 10 million miles an hour and it's distracting?
That's not going to help you, yeah.
Another application of that is, though, that you think you're a fairly good writer or presenter, right, whatever it might be, and they have very specific criteria in their organization about how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so you think you've learned kind of the more general, the theory, mm-hmm, right, and when you get there, they want you to use acronyms in your presentation, which we say don't, mm-hmm, you know, all of that, and they want you to go through 35 slides in your slide set. So mm-hmm, you have to figure out where to adapt to that,
right,
organization, mm-hmm, and yet not feel like you have to say, you know, that's not good theory.
So
you have to figure all that out. That's a real political...
Yeah. I interned actually in a weird circumstance. I actually was a volunteer social worker with no social work courses or background. I got thrown in, but I got such wonderful background from that internship, and I actually learned to be, I think, more empathetic because of that internship. So don't, you know, right now we're very focused on talking about the actual cost benefit plainly of a job prospect. But I'm going to pitch an internship this way. It's there also for you to emotionally grow. So maybe you don't have a background in social work, but maybe, you know, helping others opens you up. Maybe you never did animal rescue, and now you've opened up. You know, it's a new experience, and it's an experience that can integrate you into being bigger souled. So take that opportunity, because there's so much in this world that makes you small-souled.
On a less, a much less poetic and heavy point, this is a very student-minded question. Because there are credits involved, mm-hmm, can a person fail an internship?
Yes. Mostly it's not putting in the hours. Mm-hmm. That's all agreed to up front.
In the contract.
In the contract. So if you do not put in the hours, now we usually massage it somehow that we can extend it a little bit, work over the, mm-hmm, the holiday break.
Right.
But some supervisors would just say, you know, this wasn't done this up to my speed. I have to say, I think in my, I don't know how many internships I've evaluated, perhaps 200, I think two perhaps did not end well.
Super rare.
That's super rare, right? And one of the things the student just said, I can't keep up with this workload. You know, I had no idea I was going to get this kind of responsibility. And that's one of the good things about internships in this day and age, that everybody's so short-staffed that they're bringing in lots of internships and giving them great work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to work it into your life in a way. It's really hard.
You don't take it as a given.
Right.
You accept it.
Right. I mean, the downside of that is everybody's short-staffed, but they're not really looking to hire these interns.
Mm-hmm.
They're all staying lean and mean.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think, oh, because I'm getting all this responsibility, it means they're grooming me to get a job.
Yeah.
Oh, the culture is so tight right now.
Yeah, it is tight. And I've actually been a site supervisor for interns and so forth. And you know, the way an intern, you know, I'm outcomes focused, okay? My background's actually from technology, so I come out of software dev. And it's all about outcomes. Did you make your deliverables? Here's the parameters of the deliverable. I don't care how you go about it, whose deal you got to make at the crossroads. I have a deliverable date that you are held responsible for. So, the only way an intern has failed is, for me, I don't even care about the hours, because if you are lean, mean, and that efficient to get my outcomes, more profit for you, right?
Good point.
The way you fail is not bringing yourself to the game.
You bring up a point, and it happens here at Metro, because mm-hmm, like the Metropolitan, Hotish, mm-hmm, those are all student-run, and you get incredible experience. And people have to manage them, and students are acting as managers. And they say one of their complaints is that the staff will say, well, I have to do this in addition to my schoolwork and my job. I'm not being paid for this. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a low priority for me. Mm-hmm. And you can hear the student manager saying, but you're supposed to treat this as if it's a job because that's how we see how professional you are. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to see other students have that experience to say, that's what I'm judging you on. It's those of you who can step up and do this and who will step up and make this a priority. Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. That any employer where you say, I really have a lot of schoolwork and things, they want to know that they're first regardless. It's so sad. It's hard.
Well, you know, and it's one of those things that I think that's kind of failed the high schools here. And I'm going to be judgy. I think one of the skill sets that is not taught very well, and we assume as professors that students walk in with it, is time management mm-hmm. skills. And, you know, prioritization time management skills. I totally am sympathetic because I was that student who held X amount of jobs trying to be debt-free in school and still carry an obscene amount of credits. Everything, so I get it. But one of the skills if you were going to get ready just for life skills and university and then the internship, time management, project prioritization. We know you've got a busy life. We know you have a life. We walk in as professors and everything, as instructors, and we have the syllabus, we've got the schedule, we've got the due dates and everything, and we just assume you know how to put this in a calendar, that you will use software, hard copy, that you'll actually know what sub-deliverables are. That's the skill, one skill that will make your life easy.
And how to camouflage how busy you are, because they don't really want to hear me say, poor me, poor me. I'm trying to do so many different things. They want you to feel on top of it.
Right.
And so you have all these ways to camouflage that you just ate in your car and that, you know, you dropped your kids off 10 minutes ago. So you just look calm, cool, and collected, but really, you know, it's been very hard.
The ability to determine what they want from you is probably pretty good.
Reading the culture.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
And you make it a site supervisor who says exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many hours it takes you. I'm going to judge you on your deliverables. So that's a great thing to know.
Right.
That you don't have to be putting in your time at your desk just to look busy.
Okay, so what is the most interesting or the favorite internship you've seen a student get, or just something you'd like to share about that?
A student cold calling Estee Lauder in Minnesota to look for an internship, and Estee Lauder replying back saying, we don't have internships, but would you like to start the internship program?
Wow. Just have to try. Have to do something.
Look, you know you're going to get a no, right? So what you got to lose?
They've been so different, it's hard to find one. But I think I most admire the screenwriters who do these incredibly difficult jobs, and it's, you know, such a difficult field, and they all want to go to California, but then some of them get these amazing opportunities where they can read scripts, and they will sit and read very, very bad scripts for their entire internship. And I said, how do you get yourself through that? One of them said, well, I find that it's just so such a relief to know I can write better than these people can, and that these got considered, you know, so at least they got to me.
Some hope.
But my favorite incident, and I have so many, but one was that we talked about the St. Paul Saints, and one of my students did the St. Paul Saints, and she said, well, I said, so what did you get good at? She said, man, I can paint a pig. They paint those pigs that are out front. And she said that was one of my major responsibilities. Every week, she painted the pig. That was too much.
Okay, that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank everyone for listening and invite you to join us next time for another episode of On Track.